You are now tuned in live to Step the Game Up Saturdays. Diva Mary Kay, showcasing nothing but successful independent businesses. Call us up at 347-850-1521 and step your game up.
What you looking at?
Step your game up.
What you waiting for?
Step your game up.
Gonna come on in the dust.
Step your game up.
Drive it to the floor and just
step your game up.
You with Ken?
Step your game up.
Oh, you drink gin?
Step your game up.
Is that your friend?
Step your game up.
Nigga, you with you can't step your game up.
I know you love me. I can tell by the way that you kiss me. Tight when you hug me. Took me to school the very first day. Gave me a piece of buttercup. Sent me on my way. I know it's frightening. I can tell by the pain in your eyes. When the rent was late again. Too strong to fold. Being on your own. Lord bless the soul. Mama knows love.
Mama knows love like the backbone. Used to fall asleep daily in your work.
Mama, I swear you never have to worry, no, no.
Mama knew love like the
mama
backseat.
Knew love.
Used to wipe me just to make the ends meet.
Oh, no.
Mama swear you never have to worry again.
A bright and early, right. Scrambled eggs, right. Swelling in your legs, right. Bills on the bed. Still you managed right. To show me a smile, right. Then walk to work about right. 2 or 3 miles. Mom, I'm gonna struggle with you. I'm gonna help you see the bigger picture. You gave me something to walk and take away. You make it so easy to say, I love you, mama.
Mama knew love, like
and mama knew love.
You used to fall asleep daily in your work.
Every day.
Mama said, you never have to worry again.
You never have to worry again. Mama, I love you. Yeah, yeah.
Mama knew love, like
mama knew love.
You used to wipe me just to make it easy.
Yeah. Never have to worry again. No, no, no.
Mama knew love.
And mama knew love.
She gave me love.
Crazy love.
Crazy love.
Crazy love. Crazy love.
So much love.
Mama knew love.
Mama knew love.
You already know what it is. Jay Rue the Realist, South Central Unsigned Hype. Let's get it in. Step your game up Saturdays. Let's go.
You already know what time it is to step your game up Saturdays. This your girl Diva Ebony B, and we're going to be stepping your game all the way up today. Make sure y'all call us up at 347-850-1521. That's 347-850-1521, and press the 1 button to be heard. We stepping our games up today. We talking about, actually, it's Parents Day on Steppy Game Up Saturdays, and there's actually a national holiday that celebrates parents. And a lot of people don't know about that, so we're going to get into that. Also, we're going to have Jay Rue the Realist, which I hear right now is that Royal Flush behind me. I'm going to play that for y'all in a minute, but we're going to have him in the house tonight talking. He sent me a video on Twitter, and it's Dr. Booker T. Coleman, the history of science of the Moors. And I think it will really help a lot of African Americans and all people step their game up to get this knowledge as well. So we're going to have some audio from Dr. Booker T. Coleman. We're going to have Jay Real the Realist in here elaborating on that, helping us educate ourselves. And also, we're going to be talking about our parents' pay. So y'all make sure y'all call me up, 347-850-1521. That's 347-850-1521. And press the one button to be heard. Let's take a short music break right here. This is one of my favorite tracks by Jay Real the Realist. It's called Royal Flush, and this thing go hard. So let's get into it right now. When we come back, we're going to have Jay Real the Realist up in here. We got Genius on the line. We see y'all. Let's go.
Cheers. You already know what it is. Okay, let's go. I'm Cheers. You already know what it is. Okay,
knuckle up.
Let's go.
Cheers.
You already know what it is.
Okay,
I'm colder than a blizzard in winter in mid-December. Hit them with the verses and suddenly they remember. Better pour it slow, they better stop looking, listen like they treated fell in the forest and no one yelled timber. Something missing from the equation. Saber the villain added with Reaper equals spades. A little drink for the occasion, my gentleman party, not to be played with. We bring the noise like a siren. Clear your girl bitching up quick like I'm fighting. And then I'm right back at it, cooler in the spot than the other side of the moon. Dark high, like no lights in the attic. And I'll probably wet my wife in this place if she'll have it. Until then I roll up like the blunts do, cause my car's feng shui kicks like kung fu. Okay. Huh. Yes, I just returned from the mothership. No need for low jack, cause this whip be hovering. I started up and then I take off. Gas a rapper spitting in ciphers like I was Adolf. But Schindler couldn't list this. And what if I blink? Then brother, you gon' miss this. To the beam up, I got it. Cause that's two tip stack cheese and then pause. So I just save and clean heat. Sanding my toes from the waves of this beat. Sitting at the dock of the bay with a half pound of purple when I sawed off gas. Okay.
Huh.
3,000 in this thing to us. Opposition trying to bring the flame to us. 0 degrees, we watch that flame combust. Turning the vapors and float away. It dust. Yeah, it's all sounds in the wind. Can you hear my potential arising again? Leaving, never to come back and contend. While the child stands alone in the back of the class. Hands up, but nobody dare to answer. The problem that we're facing, body serious as cancer.
Hey.
Well, just leave it to me. I'll be the motion in the picture that they needed to see. I'll be the pollen full of flowers and the birds and the bees. I sow the seeds, grow the trees, so they sway in the breeze. And good grief, will I ever lie in ease in these streets? Open up the mind to you so we breathe. Listen to the songs of Elder B. Cause all the rest is just a repeat.
Diva Spot Radio on the spot, on the grind.
Yeah, yeah, that was my boy Jay Real the Realist right there with Royal Flush. Y'all make sure y'all check him out on Twitter at Jay Real the Realist. Network with him. Check out his music. Become a supporter of his music as well, man. We're about to get into this hot topic right here. But before that, I need some background music. Guys, I just want to say one thing. I love music because it has a way of turning your whole mood, your whole situation around and like, 1.5 seconds, so it's just a blessing. Let's get some Just Like Music up in here so we can kick it off and pay homage to our parents first.
It's Just Like Music. Ooh, music
like
is the soul of the man.
Jam unto the music, baby.
Music
like
makes a
jam,
happy day.
Jam, get funky, funky, funky.
The music makes
so
the
what?
Clouds
say
roll
what?
By, baby.
Say what?
Your
say
music
what?
Kiss my
say
tears
what?
And shut my eyes.
Do-be-do-be-do-be-do-be-do-be-do.
Your music makes me want to sing.
The
music is a joy to bring.
Hey.
Music is my heart and soul.
Make
precious and gold.
Y'all hear that? Music is my heart, my soul. More precious than gold. And another thing that's more precious than gold is our parents. Our creators, our mothers and fathers. It's Parents Day on Step Your Game Up Saturdays. We're dedicating this show to mothers and fathers of our future doctors, our future politicians, our future lawyers, to taking, you know, talking about life and as an artist and an entrepreneur, entertainer, while also trying to balance and raise your children. I know it can become difficult at times as me, as a business owner, as a CNA, as a supervisor. It gets, like, really challenging at times, and it can cause you to have physical issues and emotional problems as well, because you start looking down on yourself like, man, I'm not spending enough time with my kid, or I could have did things better. But we here to tell you parents that we pay homage to y'all. So y'all make sure y'all tune in. You can also bring the kids to the show. I want you to bring your stories. You know, we stepping our games up. Also, it's going to be the world premiere of the latest single by Jay Biggs called One Time Cast. So you guys look out for that. But yeah, I wanted to speak on the, not the single parent families first. Let's speak on the parents who are both together and in the house, been married for years, then had children, went through the ups and downs, and still raising children together and still loving one another. They bear through. Yes, round of applause for the parents. I'm not trying to get on the single parents, but I do want to give some homage and pay some respect to those who stayed in the house with each other and worked it out through their differences to continue to raise children. It's important to have two parents in the house, or at least have the two parents have a close relationship, where if they are in two different homes, the child is not lacking either one. You know, we may not be together, but we still work together in support of you because we love you. I think these type of parents and these type of people don't get enough recognition. And it's income tax time now, guys, and it's sad to say that money, and around this time, a lot of parents become divided because of who's going to claim the child. And I think that's wrong. That's not being a phenomenal parent. That's not being a phenomenal mother or father. So, you know, when we can come to agreements and respect each other's opinions, it's so important. And not only respecting our parents, but what about our grandparents? And what about our grandparents' grandparents? What about our ancestors? You need to know that you come from, you know, regardless of what your mother or your father is doing, just know you came from royalty. And we're going to research that and get into that for y'all now. I want to get y'all feedback on the importance of parentship, the importance of making sure that we're not only paving the way for our youth, but having a comfortable living and comfortable situation for our parents as well. So let me go ahead and open up the call line. 202-696. Holla at us. Step your game up. Who we got here?
Hey, what's going on, Ebony? How's everything?
This I'm fine. Diesel. Who am I speaking with?
This is Diesel.
Hey, Diesel, what's going on?
Nothing much. It's Diesel.
Diesel, I'm sorry.
No problem.
Okay.
Now, I grew up in a two-parent household, so I already know exactly how important it is, you know, because you get a little from both sides, you know. You see who you, me being a young man, I saw who I was going to be in my father, you know, but I got that nurture from my mother, that nurture and that love, everything that she wanted to put, you know, that she wanted me to know, that soft side, whereas my father was more of a hardcore kind of guy. So, I mean, having two parents in a household, it lets you know exactly how much, it lets you know, you know, exactly who you're going to be as a person. You know you're going to be a little bit of this, you're going to be a little bit of that, but it also develops you as an individual. You were talking about how the parents were, how tax time coming around,
yeah.
You know, and the kids need to acknowledge. Kids need to acknowledge, hey, tax time. Grown people that, you know, still had their parents in their lives, they need to show that appreciation. Before you go out there and you cop those Jordans, think about the sacrifices that your parents made for you. And how about you send them on a vacation?
I love that.
It doesn't have to be much. It could be a small getaway. You know, you can put them up in a hotel room, a luxury hotel room or something, you know.
For the weekend.
If you get money.
Mm-hmm. And put your parents up in a hotel
for them. By showing appreciation to your parents, will be passed along to your kids, you know, and they'll do that, show that same appreciation to you when they get older.
And it's all about lead by example. You're so right about that. They see. Look, hold. Let me give you this right here. You needed this.
All right, all right, all right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that, Diesel. You are very right. What about us as grown folks putting our parents up, or you know, probably paying a bill for them, or just dropping a check on them from time to time when we getting our income tax, and especially we getting money. I like the luxury. Ideal of putting them up for about a weekend. That's gonna be like $200 to $300. That's how much you pay in to file your taxes anyway. If that, maybe
exactly.
Like $150.
Exactly.
Diesel, where you
know,
calling from?
Oh, I'm calling from DC, Southeast DC.
Hey,
you know.
Shout out to DC. Go ahead, Diesel. I hear you.
So I mean, you know, when you getting back, you know, $5,000 from your taxes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I understand you got to catch up on your bills or whatever, you know, pay back everybody you owe. But
yeah.
At the same time, $800, $900 that you set aside for your parents is not going to hurt you.
Mm-mm.
That's a very small fraction of what you're getting just to show your parents that you love
them. Mm-hmm.
You know, think about all the sacrifices they made for you over the time. You know.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, I mean, just as an example, speaking personally, I didn't see my parents argue until I turned 21.
Mm.
You know, no matter how mad they were at each other, they wasn't going to let me see it. They weren't going to let me see it because they wanted to, you know, they wanted to keep that sense of love in the house.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they took that to the problem. Now, you got to think about how much it hurts just to hold them when you're mad and you're away from someone. To do that when you have to face that person every day. Man, that's a huge sacrifice, and that's a lot of energy, and they did that just for me. So, you know, when they got older, hey, I said, you know what, y'all showed me so much love, I'm going to show y'all that same love and compassion.
Mm-hmm. And it's so important to honor your mother and your father, and I know people would say, you know, my father or my mother didn't do this for me, or they was in the streets and running, and my father got more than one baby mother. Him and my mother didn't end up together, and you know, it could be some pain behind that, and I can definitely understand that. But regardless, honor thy mother and thy father. It's a commandment from the Lord. It's a commandment from the Creator. And you know, I'm not saying that you have to continue to allow your parents to cause you any pain. You know how we got some of them parents that steal from the kids because they got a habit, or they're abusive to the children because emotional issues or a drug habit. It's kind of hard to say I love you and I support you after you did that to me, but still honor your mother and thy father. Still pray for them and have some respect for them, you know, because we see that a lot with too much of disrespect towards your parent, towards the person who created you, who gave you this body, who gave you this life to be here. They're human just like you. They're going to make mistakes just like you. But, you know, you got to show them some love and provide a foundation for them as they get older in life, because once they become seniors, they really can't take care of themselves. And I know I've seen firsthand with working in a nursing home after getting my CNA license. I've seen firsthand how these people are so depressed and their kids don't come see them, or they're just dying slowly or dying even quickly from a broken heart. Just imagine your mother, your father in a nursing home dying of a broken heart. That's jacked up, isn't it?
Me personally, I wouldn't even let that happen.
Mm-hmm.
My mom, I actually lost both of my parents.
Okay.
And I moved in with them, and I stayed with them, and I took care of them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, right down to bathing them and cooking for them and doing everything that they needed, because I refused to let somebody put the life of my parents in someone else's hands. They didn't do that with me.
Mm-hmm.
So why would I do that with them, especially when I'm old enough to take care of them?
Mm-hmm.
You have to. I mean, think about how much they sacrificed for you over the years. Do you know how much money kids don't realize, you know, they don't acknowledge today how much money they cost their parents, you know, and that's money they could have been spending on themselves.
You're right about that.
I would never let someone take care of my parents. No, that's my job right here. I owe them that.
As long as I'm healthy and living.
They love me, so I'm going to love them.
That's what's up, Deezer. Stay with us, baby. We're going to keep...
I really agree with you about the disrespect angle. I mean, too many parents... I mean, I somewhat put it on the parents because a lot of parents try to be their kids' friends instead of being their parents.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but that's a whole different issue, you know. You are still respect.
We lost Diesel. Diesel's going to call back in. Let's bring J-Real the Realist up in this thing. J-Real, holla at us, baby.
How you doing, Queen? How you doing?
I'm doing all right, King. All right,
all right, all right. Yeah.
It's Parents' Day on Step Your Game Up Saturdays, man. We getting into this thing. Holla at us, J-Real. Holla at us, King. Let us know what's up.
Oh, nothing much, man. I just been working. Being a parent. And, finding out and enjoying the joys of being a parent and watching my children grow and going through that transformation as a father of wanting to work harder in life because I want for my children.
Mm-hmm.
So it's being a parent is a I know it's not a scientific term, but I'm saying this: being a parent is like a mutation. You become you mutated to something else. Now, regardless if you're present in that child's life to be there physically every day, you still transform, you still mutate into a different person once you produce life, because something has now exited your body. Something that was in you is now out of you and has a life. So now you are something different. So you automatically develop these type of feelings, these type of connection. Women really, really have this with their children, that connection, that physical connection, to where your child could be at a sister's house or auntie's house spending the night, and you get a inkling, and then you make a phone call, and you go, okay, well, I was getting ready to call you. You know, he's not doing too well in the tub, or she's not doing too well. These are the things that connect us as parents with our children. And it's very, very, very important. Just like the brother, so much respect to that brother who was just on the line, and respect to his parents. And really, yeah, we want to give respect to their parents. See, because whatever trials and tribulations that this young man's grandparents went through set the example for his parents in order for him to sit here in 2013 and say he's a young man and his parents stayed together and made it together through the trials and tribulations. When we know that the majority of us, and I'm speaking for us, when I say us to the people, I mean the African-American. Or, you know, the so-called African, even on the continent, we've been separated through all types of things that have gone on in history from our parents, not just physically, but mentally, spiritually, and in every other way. We are disassociated, disattached with our parents. And this is why the parents, the younger, especially the younger parents, try and build a relationship with the child as a friend instead of putting their foot down as a parent, because they in fear of loss of the child. I'm going to lose the child to the world if I don't try and be like the world and build a relationship with my child. I'm going to lose my child to the world. And this is a fear. Subconsciously, this is a fear of young parents, you know, because they didn't have the guidance. And not all of us were privileged, like we were saying, to have those two-parent homes. I wasn't. My mother nor father raised me. My grandmother actually raised me up to a point, and then the foster system raised me. But the level of respect that that young man has for his parents is the same level of respect I have for my biological parents. The same exact respect, because we have to understand what they went through, regardless of who's made it with who stayed together, who did like this and that. These people are breathing, living entities in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them you can call. Some of them have passed away. But what they leave behind is, you have to understand, in order to know yourself, you must know where you come from. And I love when that brother said, I found out what type of man I was going to be when I looked at how my father handled himself. And I knew how to be in tune with my wife And I knew how to be in tune with my feminine side, because us as men, we don't like to admit it, but yes, we have a feminine side, and it's okay to admit that, because you are a part of the woman. The woman is half of you. You are half a woman. It took a man and a woman to make you. You need to start acknowledging that feminine side, and I ain't talking about putting on makeup or feeling more comfortable wearing pantyhose, but you need to acknowledge that compassionate side. You need to acknowledge that loving, nurturing side in order to give that unto your son. I mean, give that unto your daughter, not your son, because it's the mother's job to teach the son. This is the role. It's we have it different in the home now, and this is a lot of the reason why we direct a day, on top of other reasons why we direct a day to certain things, parents, mothers, and all that. But us as African Americans, we've always stood at the feet of all women, always. We always praised all women, always. I mean, do you think we could have built pyramids for thousands of years beefing with y'all? You know what I'm saying? Really, like, we beef with y'all today. Do you think we could have traveled the land? Do you think us as explorers could have traveled the land for months at a time, years at a time, and then came back to what we deal with today with our women? It would have been impossible. So we know that we have been together. We have raised strong families, and our traditions are very strong. And what we need to do is we need to embrace our parents, no matter their faults. Now, I hadn't seen my mother in 12 years, seen her, talked to her, or anything since I was 5 years old. And the first thing I told her when I talked to her is, I'm sorry. Yeah, you gave me up. You abandoned me. You were going through your trials and tribulations with drug abuse and alcohol abuse and doing what you were doing. But I am sorry because of the life you had to live. I can't imagine living the life you had to live. I can't imagine going through what you had to go through, mustering enough strength and courage to know that my child will not live a suitable life with me. I have to put my child's life in somebody's hands for the best of my child. Do you know how heartbreaking and mentally breaking down to the brain of a woman that is to have
that
to give away your child.
I'm gonna tell you that would tear you up. That would tear you up.
In order for the child to survive. This is as you think in your heart, in your mind. This is your only option. So that's why I apologized to her. I didn't look for an apology. I had anger a lot in my heart as a child because, like the brother was saying, as a child, you don't understand. All you see is mama arguing back and forth with daddy, or however the problems consisted. What you do is you interpretate that into either one or two things. It's my fault they're doing this, or this is the way that things are supposed to be. So when you, as a man, when you get a woman who was raised to be a lady and she treats you like a king, you don't know how to handle that. You don't know because you weren't shown. And as a lady, when you get a king that's showing you how to be a king, you don't know because your defenses is built. You saw your mother beaten. You saw your sister abused by men. Your cousin was touched on and raped. Your auntie was this and that. So all your examples lead to negativity with us from the jump. That's why
I like
we
what
lied.
You said right there. I like what you said right there, and I'm going to bring 862 in a second. I like what you said about, the example. Like Diesel said, he knew what type of man that he was going to be through his father. And, my son's father drowned when he was 1.5 on the family trip. So he had a connection with his father, but as he grew older, he really didn't know him besides what we've been teaching him and what we've been acknowledged about his father. But I want to look at it as why we're talking about family and paying homage to our parents is the type of woman or man that you are with that's not your child's mother or child's father. And ladies, we need to really pay attention to this, and fathers, because there's a lot of single fathers out there. That you need to pay attention with that person that you're with, that you're looking at, those things that you may not like about them or those things that you have concerns about them, that is going to be instilled in your child because you guys are in the same home, you fussing and loving, and you raising this kid. So if there's an issue that you really know that you can't stand about your mate, it may be best for y'all to go y'all separate ways for the sake of the child, especially when you fussing and fighting. Let's bring Jersey in on this thing right here before we get into a music break. 862-755-9255.
You step your game up Saturdays. Holler at us.
What's good with you, David, man? Okay.
Money Mink.
Yeah, what's good?
Hey, what's going on, man? We stepping our game up live. It's Parents Day on Step Your Game Up Saturdays, and we paying homage to our parents and, you know, for our future doctors, our future lawyers, our future children out there. And we're talking about the importance of parents. And I like what J. Real the Realist said about, you know, men, I mean, having two parents in the house, that you sometimes men need to accept their sensitive side, because you was made by a man and a woman, and that sensitive side or emotional side will be able to help you further down the line with your daughter. And he wasn't saying it in the term of put on lipstick and pantyhose and whatnot, but embracing that side. And I know, Money Meek, you come from a wonderful mother and father. Your mother and father have been married for years and still together, right?
Yeah, most definitely.
Yeah.
Yes, they definitely married over almost 30 years now. No, the road wasn't easy, though. I definitely seen him go through something. Let me step out. You know, we out at the mall at this AFC game and whatnot. Let me step out. Yeah,
okay.
So, you know, the road was all right out. You know what I'm saying? The road was all right, man. You know, but they had their problems. You know, I seen him go through something. You know, I think, you know, it could be success in a child. Having a single parent or having two, you know, the choices basically gonna come from the decision that the child made. You know, the leadership from the parent or guardian over the child. Period.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could be raising your child right and go out there and do some dumb stuff. You know what I mean? Got the silver spoon, just made the wrong choice. But I still think it's more productive to have both parents, because you know, your child, you always wanted to have. You know, if I got custody, you know, by my mom. No, I do wonder where my dad at. You know what I'm saying? Regardless of what they're going to do, your child. So if the dad had cussed, you know, I'm going to wonder where my mom's at. You know what I'm saying? It's a natural thing. So, you know, I think it's definitely better for them to have both. Yeah.
I would say the same thing, you know, as far as having two parents in the house, whether biological or not, if you guys didn't end up together. But I want to, you know, say that you don't have to, for mothers and fathers and single mothers and fathers, we adapt this complex because we are a single mother or a single father that, you know, we may not be good enough, or we just don't want to have anybody around our kids, and we tired of people wasting our time. We don't want to go through the emotions again of getting involved with somebody and giving them our love to later on to end up to be nothing. It was a waste of time. But I'm here to tell you guys.
Yeah, Dave, you definitely have to, one thing you made a point, you definitely have to watch who you got your kids around, because you got to remember, you know, children only know what you show them and what you bring around them, you see. So I think you definitely have to watch who you bring around your kids, though. That's a must.
One thing I did see on Facebook the other day before I go into a music break, a young lady posted on Facebook, and she said, a real woman praise, a selfish woman complains. And I could say that for the men, a real man prays, but a selfish man complains. Meaning that if you with somebody and they have an ex or an ex baby mama or an ex baby daddy, and they too busy complaining about your new mate rather than praying for y'all to be the best that y'all can be for the situation, you need to take a look at that, because the exes can hold you up from having a good woman or a good man. I done seen it on both ends. I know of a young man and a young female that left a wonderful person that they was with that was supportive of them, supportive of their child, because of their mate saying that, where their ex or baby daddy or baby mama saying that, I'm not going to support the baby, or I'm not going to have the baby around you because of your new boo. And they don't even know him. That's so selfish. But it's going on. And we may have to go off on this situation. It's your girl Diva Ebony B. You're now tuning in live to Step Your Game. We're talking about stepping our game up today and paying homage to our parents, man. We're about to go into a short music break. And when we come back, we're going to get into it with J. Real the Realist. J. Real the Realist is going to step our game up with speakings and teachings from Dr. Booker T. Coleman, the history and science of the Moors. So y'all stay tuned and get ready. Let's go.
Wake up, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for all our blessings, Lord. I thank you for carrying us through, and I ask you to bless all our endeavors, especially the children. I was born with a curse, and my mother leaving only made it worse. At first came the hurt, then came being treated like dirt. Three, I was on my own. A crazy father who would always do me wrong. Insane seemed to be his only tone. I prayed every night, Lord, please make me strong. That's when I would snap back to reality in visions of these endless brutalities. So I swore I'd be good to the core, grow to be a woman way more than a whore. If life's a battle, I've been through the war. The things I survived would knock me to the floor. There's still so many things I dream I would do. First, just make sure that this happens to you. Dear
mother, life was so hard for me, but I will always look out for my children. They didn't have a heart like me, but now I've received my healing. Life was so hard for me, but I will always look out for my children. They didn't have a heart like me, but now I've received my healing, mother.
Now I look back at the past. How the hurt hit hard and so fast. Outcast, addicted to glass, just trying to get a fix. How long will it last? Back then I was doing what I do. Then the doctor told me I would have you. Who would have thought that she would slow down? Everything I lost had just been found. Never would I let that pipe put me in the ground. The devil kept calling, but I didn't make a sound. Standing at the crossroads, staring at the gate. God, give me the strength. Step up to the plate, eyes empty, so void, we're so afraid. You were my gift, time to meet my fate. You were born into that curse, drawn into that cycle, so I called on the warfare angel named Michael.
Dear mother, life was so hard for me, but I will always look out for my children. I didn't have a heart like me, but now I've received my healing. Life was so hard for me, but I will always look out for my children.
You got issues, I understand. Just know you always come before a man. And I salute you for all you've been through. A true soldier, no chip on your shoulder. This music's only making me bolder, y'all getting older. Always knew mommy could do it, that's right, I told you. I thank God for all y'all. Couldn't put a thing in this world before y'all. Love D is all unconditionally, and that's the type of love you can expect from me. You kids growing up so fast, and I just want to be the one to guide you and keep you on that path, save you from the pain that I've been through. I dream of having so much more for you. So keep your head up, put your faith in the Lord, and take your life and make it so much more, Lady G.
Dear mother, I was so hard for me.
Already know what it is. J. Rule the Realist, South Central Unsigned Hype. Let's get it in. Step your game up Saturdays. Let's go.
Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for all our blessings, Lord. I thank you for carrying us through, and I ask you to bless all our endeavors, especially the children. With a curse,
like my mother leaving only made it worse. At first came the hurt, then came being treated like dirt. By the age of 3, I was on my own. A crazy father who would always do me wrong. Insane seemed to be his only tone. I prayed every night, Lord, please make me strong. That's when I would snap back to reality. In visions of these endless brutalities. So I swore I'd be good to the core. Grow to be a woman way more than a whore. If life's a battle, I've been through the war. The things I survived would not be through the floor. There's still so many things I dream I would do. First just make sure that this happens to you.
Dear mother, life was so hard for me. But I will always look out for my children. They didn't have a heart like me.
Now I look back at the past, how the hurt hit hard and so fast. Outcast, addicted to glass, just trying to get a fix. How long will it last?
That's definitely a hot track right there. I'm loving that song.
Then the doctor told me I would have you.
It's so beautiful.
That you would slow down.
Let's get into it. Jay with the Realist, can you hear me?
Never would I let that pipe put me in the ground.
Let's go to 520-55. Can you hear me?
All right. Hey, what's up? What's up? It's your boy, Tony Lyrics, man. What's going on?
Tony Lyrics, what's going on, man?
Not much. I'm just telling. How about yourself?
I'm doing good. Steppy Game of Saturday. Of course, we're playing homage to our parents today. And I know you definitely got some parents that raised you well. Let's get your piece on this.
Yeah, I wasn't raised in, I was raised in a single parent home. My mom raised me, but, you know, I wasn't fortunate enough to be raised with my dad in the household. So for my side of everything, you know, I just saw a very strong black woman that never gave up on her child and did whatever it took to make sure I had whatever I wanted. I didn't want for nothing. And I can just imagine how hard that had to be, you know, to try to do that, because it's like, it's you by yourself. So, I mean, all I can say is I'm blessed, and it made me work harder because I was determined to be in my kid's life no matter what. I wasn't walking away no matter how hard it got, you know, because I know what it's like to grow up without your dad. So, for me, it's like, that's everything to me, is being there for my kids and letting them know that, hey, even though, you know, mom and dad ain't together, you're still the most important thing in my life, and I'm going to be there for you, and I'm going to give you a chance.
I think that's an important thing to do, is opening up that communication lane for you and your kids. And a lot of people don't like to deal with awkward situations. You know, we love our parents, and parents, we need to stop overthinking this thing. You know, it may be awkward that y'all not together, y'all not living together no more, but that does not take away from the love that you have and show to your child, because if you're absent and you're not there, then you're only leading it to their imagination and what other people have to say about you. You know, you got to bat for yourself. There's a National Parents Day, the fourth Sunday of every July, and a lot of people don't know about celebrating Parents Day. It's the fourth Sunday of each and every July, and I want to give y'all some information about National Parents Day. You can go to www.parentsday.com. Again, that's www.parentsday.com. And they even have National Parents Day winners, where they the parents are entered into this contest and this appreciation, and they do it real big for them. And you can nominate someone for Parent Day 2013 right now. And a lot of people ask, well, what is Parents' Day? Many Americans are unaware of our nation has a new day of commemoration called Parents' Day. This is good news for American parents and families. In 1994, President Bill Clinton signed into law the resolution adopted by the U.S. Congress, establishing the fourth Sunday of every July as Parents' Day. a perennial day of commemoration, and somebody can correct me if I'm saying this wrong, commemoration, similar to Mother's Day and Father's Day. According to the congressional resolution, Parents' Day is established for recognizing, uplifting, and supporting the role of parents in the rearing of children. The establishment of the Parents' Day was the result of a bipartisan, multicultural, and interfaith coalition of religions, civic, and elected leaders who recognized the need to promote responsible parenting in our society and to uplift ideal parent role models, especially for our nation's children. And to talk about the bill a little bit as well, it says, resolved by the Senate and the House of Representatives of the United States of America and Congress assembled, that the fourth Sunday of every July shall be established as Parents' Day to be recognized as a reoccurring perennial day. And then it goes to say how Bill Clinton, President Bill Clinton, meets with parents of year honorees in 1995. So the bill was passed in 1994, and Bill Clinton started meeting with the parents and doing big things for them. I really like the fact of having a National Parents' Day, and I'm really want to spread the word to people about this day, because a lot of people don't know. Also, for us to nominate our parents and showcase them.
Right.
I know as a mother everything that I've had to sacrifice for my son, you know, in the hard times for my son, but I just think it's a great day to nominate people who go above and beyond, and not just for their kids, but other kids. I think about
it makes
too.
You feel appreciated that the other people are taking notice and looking at the fact that of everything that you're doing, and you know, and that you're doing for your kids, and I think it's great myself. I just think it's a great thing to have.
I think we should definitely put parents at the top of the list to respect. Diesel called in earlier, and my name got seen about to open up your line. Diesel called in earlier, and he was talking about, you know, income taxes coming, and we should, you know, take some of that money and send our parents on a trip or put them up in a hotel the weekend or, you know, do some repairs on their house that they didn't have since we were little and finally bought it, you know, with nonstop working. So I just think, you know, those who get an income tax time, do something nice for your parents, regardless if they're alive or not. If they're not alive, you know, get some more, some flowers on their headstones, or, you know, get them a headstone. I know my mother didn't have a headstone on her gravesite for about 2 or 3 years until we was able to come together collectively as a family. Well, me and my sister had put money in because we really wanted it that bad for our mom. Like, we felt like she needed it.
And I mean, I definitely agree with these you said earlier. I mean, taking out a little bit of money, like, you know, 800 or whatever, so to speak, to get back to a parent, that's nothing. Like you said, compared to everything they sacrificed over the years, I mean, you can never make that up, you know, so it shouldn't be a problem to take out a little bit and do something for them.
And we, just talking about money as well, hold on, let me open up Money Meek. Money Meek, let me get a mic check.
Yeah, we
are. Real, let me get a mic check.
Yeah.
Money, I got you. J. Real, the realist, let me get a mic check. All right, we're going to wait. As far as talking about money, because we got the kids now, you can actually pay homage back to your, and I can't believe that I'm saying it, but you can pay homage and respect your parent now with your behavior, the way you talk, the way you dress, the way you represent yourself when you leave out that door. Because you better realize, when we walk out the door in adults too, because we had a tendency to act up and act like a fool, especially when something has hurt our feelings or somebody has done something to someone that we love. When we walk out the door, we represent three people: God, our parents, and ourselves. And a fourth too. Let's put a fourth on there, the kids. So we got God, our parents, ourselves, and the kids. You know, people are looking at you and saying, wow, you know, if you, especially if you act now, act the fool, wow, look at that mother, look at that father. And they feel bad for your children or for your situation, but it's not for you to care, I mean, to stay holy on their opinion. It's for you to evaluate yourself. Because if you acting like a fool and carry on and cussing, guess what? Your mama, your kids, and everybody else is doing it.
Mm-hmm.
We come from a royal family, you guys. And I'm saying this so we can start, as people, putting more value on things. Meaning, putting more value on your life, having some standards. It took me a little while. It took me a while to really come to terms with some of the things that I need to continue to sacrifice to be able to be a healthy and loving mother. Soon, one day, a healthy and loving wife, a healthy and loving sister or brother, and a healthy and loving citizen in this world. I had to start thinking about how am I respecting myself and my family by doing certain things like smoking and drinking and, you know, having sex out of wedlock or being angry at somebody and cursing them out. We got to start putting more value on ourselves. So I said, you know what? My body, my temple, my mind, my spirit is so, it has so much value, and it's time for me to get the kahunas and say, you know what? No more drink, no more smoke. I'm sorry, we gotta move out, we gotta break up, because you don't want the things that I want in life.
Right.
And I want a healthy environment and a relationship for my son and for my son's kids and for my grandkids' kids. They're gonna see, my son gonna be able to tell my grandkids and tell his daughter or his son one day that my mother sacrificed her companionship, sacrificed a lot of things for me so I can be able to have a good role model in my life, just not well as a female, but male. She sacrificed that because she put a standard on her body. She put a value on her work and said, any man that's going to come and live up in this house and break bread with her would be her husband. She would not condone in drugs that's going to bring her down. My mother got active. She went out. She took us out to places. We went skateboarding. We did healthy things together. And it takes a sacrifice. And I heard a lot of that, what Diesel said, that I'm going to leave the forum open. Y'all can jump in at any time. We'll get me some water, too. Hot up in the studio.
That, what you just said about your parents doing stuff with you, a lot of parents don't do that anymore. A lot of parents won't even take their kids to the playground anymore, you know? And it's like, you got to remember, you have to do stuff with them. I mean, that bond would just, it doesn't matter what it is. You know, that plays a big part in it, whether it's just sitting down, like, reading a story to them or taking them out somewhere. You have to do that a lot. And I think today's time, a lot, I don't think that happens a lot anymore. You know, I try to do that with my kids a lot. You know, do stuff with them, interact with them, and, just do stuff with them. I think we need that more, you know?
We went along with society standards. Let me tell y'all something.
Yeah.
And what happened, we start going along with society standards. They start taking the playgrounds out the schools. They start taking the playgrounds out the neighborhoods. The playgrounds started to turn into drug spots and prostitution spots. You know, and we took the playgrounds out of the schools too, so it was training us not to be healthy. See, it was a design, it's a trap to set up. Oh, well, we take the active things out. I can hear you, Jay Real the Realist. If we take the active things out, you know, we take the exercise out and the fresh air, and if we take that quality time out with parks and we make it an unsafe place, they won't come here. They're going to start start shelling up, staying in their house, talking about mind your business and all of that. You know, we breaking the communication, we breaking the bond, and we breaking the physical activities of what made – it was so fun to be in a park. Who all played Frisbee? I like Frisbee.
Went Frisbee, stick ball, kick ball. You know, I saw something also on Facebook that took my attention. It said You kids have Facebook, IM, Xbox, Instagram, iPhones, and that's you. And you guys still don't want to do anything with it. And then the comment under it said that when I was a kid, all I had to play with was outside. That was it. We didn't have, and a lot of us weren't fortunate to have the Ataris and the Nintendos, the Super Nintendos. A lot of us got that because our cousins or our uncles got the newer version and we got the old one. So a lot of us, when we played with stuff, it was already outdated. It was never new. We were always used to being creative, but that's what brought your creativity. That's what brought your essence to want to learn things, to be inquisitive and want to know. That's how you start a child off of wanting to know. When the child is walking up the street and they want to grab every flower and every rock, and then you tell them, no, don't do that. Put that down. What you're doing is you're cutting off their exploration. They need that, especially as a child. So when they get older, they're not scared to ask questions. They're not scared to examine and go out and do things. And as parents, we need to enforce that. It seems like when you broke, you ain't got no car or none of that, and you're looking at your kids in the house, you ain't got nothing to do. Going to the park is a normal thing. But when you get the car and you get the extra cash and you do all that, you're trying to pawn the kids off on grandma so you can go to the club. Or you're trying to drop the kid off somewhere else so you can go kick it or something like that, instead of taking the time now, because you were that same person that sat on the couch and said, when I get, I'm going to do. And now that you have done nothing. So we have to get out of the mold of this society telling us that the only drive is money. The only drive is to get money. And then when you get money, they even go as far to show you what to do with the money, which is go spend it on the diamonds. Go spend it on your rims. Go spend it on the beat. Go spend it on making somebody else look at you like you're something that you're not.
Right.
Instead of turning that and directing it on the kids. I don't like to see when these parents, they come out the house, they got rings on every five fingers. They got gold ropes on those rings, diamonds, new cell phone and all that. And then your daughter walk out the house, her T-shirt snotty, look 3 days old, her hair toe up, her shoes is leaning to the side. Them the shoes she play in. You should be taking as much time, if not more, to get her prepared than you. Because like we talk about, our parents represent us. And a lot of times, like we said, we have devoted parents. They're out working these hours, overtime, to make sure you have the things that you need to have. But when you're out there doing that, you can't just turn around and go self, self, self. We have to stop being selfish. This is what makes us good parents, good leaders in our household. Men, this is what makes us good kings for our queens, so that she sees when you do get, you don't just get for you, you get for us. So now I want to push you going out and doing what you have to do, because when you come home, I'm always taken care of. These kids are always taken care of. Then you won't hear all that, oh, where you been? Where you going? Was you at his house? You lying. I don't believe you. You was gone too long. You called and said, you sat on your phone and you butt dialed me and I heard the whole conversation. See, you won't get all that. I went through your phone and I called every person that was in your phone that had a female. You won't get all that when she feels appreciated, when she feels like you're actually what. But you have to respect yourself and vice versa with the women, and in tune it shows in your children.
I'm still listening. You write about that. You won't get all of that because you're showing appreciation. You're paying homage. You're working together as a family. And it all comes from the unknown and insecurities, I believe, really start to happen because of the unknown. I don't know what's going on.
Well, it's very known. It's very known, but it's the subconscious that's being attacked. It's not your conscious mind. As an individual, see, this is where what the conversation we're getting ready to get into, this is where a lot of this has to do with knowing self. In order to know where you are, you must know where you have been. And when you know where you've been and you know your present state, it's a pretty good shot that you know what's going to happen next. But when we don't even know who we are, where we are as individuals, let alone men or women, how can we define ourselves as parents? We have not been raised. Our mental, our spiritual, and even a lot of our physical standards as far as how we act are still childish. And we are the future generation. One day we will be walking around the grandparents. And everybody that we know, that the OGs and the G's, the big homies, they'll be gone. And what they did will be left upon us. And we have to remember that. It's very, very important, even from down to the way we educate our children. It is very important that we consume as much time as we can, especially when they're young. I don't care. Right. And stop telling them no. Stop telling them no. Every time they do something, it's no, no, no. Put that down. No, no, no. Stop telling them no. You're building them up for false securities. You're letting them know that they will not be able to do it anyway. And we want to blame that on the hierarchy. We want to blame it on the man, the system. But if you really want to break the chain, stop doing. See, because you've been told no, no, no. When you go to that job interview and you fill out that job application, you've been told no, no, no. When you go down there and try and receive those benefits, you've been told no, no, no. When you go to the bus stop and the bus driver pass you up, you've been told no, no, no. The only people telling you yes is the guy behind the liquor store.
Yep.
The only people telling you yes is the person, the pushy man on the corner. The only person telling you yes is the person who wants the worst thing for you. We have to learn how to start telling ourselves yes, how to define ourselves. I can't think of who said it, but they said the greatest power in the world is illusion. And when you make somebody believe that your illusion that you have set for them is their reality, then you truly have power. We are living an illusion. We have to wake up. And if we woke up, then there would be no Parents' Day. We would commemorate and celebrate our parents when we get up in the morning. After we brush our teeth and we say our salat and we give all praise to our God for waking us up, the parents are there. And then we thank God for blessing us the gift and giving us the gift of life.
Okay, well, let's go ahead and hit this door right now. Let's hit this drop, and then we're going to go into a little bit deeper. Let's do it.
It's time to educate and regulate. It's time to educate and regulate. It's time to educate and regulate. On the front line with Diva Ebony B. It's time to educate and regulate. It's time to educate and regulate. It's time to educate and regulate. On the front line with Diva Ebony B. Hey, Queen, gon' get some bumps. Hey, Queen, gon' get some bumps. Hey, Queen, what you do some bumps? On the front line, Diva Ebony B. Hey, Queen, gon' get some. Hey Queen, gon' do some. Hey Queen, what you do some? On the front line with Diva Ebony B.
Come on, come on.
Yeah, we definitely gonna get into this thing right here. Can I get a mic check? 1, 2, 1, 2. J. Ritter Willis, can you hear me?
Yes, Queen, I can.
All right, King. Tony Larrys, can you hear me, King?
Yep, I'm here.
Money Make is here. I'm calling into the show. I'm on the switchboard from Gmail voice, which I think is really cool because I wanted to be able to play Dr. T. Booker Coleman, the clip that you sent me. I wanted to play a little bit of that. I wanted to play a couple of minutes of that.
Yeah, because that's long. That's long.
Yeah. It's real long, but I need to make sure that you can hear it, okay? So let me turn this up, and then I'm going to play it. And J-Real, when you hear it, I just need you to say mic check if you can, okay?
Okay.
Let's do this now.
The African person. And in traveling around the globe, this African finds him and herself in different climates. And because of the nature
can you hear it?
Of vitamin D in the body, I can hear it. It's kind of still in the distance, but I can't hear it.
Let me see if I can turn it up some more. Hold on.
Depigment itself. And over thousands of years, it's very dark complexion, wide nose, thick lip, very curly haired African. Because of climate, depigment itself, its hair gets straight.
There it is. Like that. It went a little bit louder than I needed. But if we turn down just a little bit so the people can get at least a good example.
Turn it up a little bit more?
No, turn it down just a little bit so because it was kind of overbearing.
Roaming ice age literally chased them into the mountains of northern Europe that we know of today. That would have
How about now?
A little bit more up. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, people. Everybody. It's very important information.
That's okay. It's very important.
Ice mountains that did not
How's that?
Return back into the southern land.
It's still low. Maybe you can turn it up the way you had it before, loud before. Maybe it'll be okay.
The warming trend of the ice age. They then found the ability to begin to move.
There it is, right there. Yeah, there it is, right there.
I'm gonna start it over. We're gonna play about 3 minutes of this thing because I want us to hear this information. It's very important. So let's go. Let's do it right now. This is Dr. Booker T. Coleman, the history and science of the Moors.
one person on earth, that is the African person. And in traveling around the globe, this African finds him and herself in different climates. And because of the nature of the production of vitamin D in the body, it has to begin to regulate itself. So in order to produce vitamin D, this very dark complexion, very curly-haired African begins to depigment itself. And over thousands of years, this very dark complexion, wide nose, thick lip, very curly-haired African, because of climate, depigments itself, its hair gets straight because of the oils produced with the lack of the sun, its nose gets aquiline, the lips get thin, and over time, this African depigments. Roman Ice Age literally chased them into the mountains of northern Europe that we know of today. That would have been where Sheikh Hunter Diop says the 51st parallel. At that point in time, for thousands of years, in the depigmentation process, ice mountains were created. Ice mountains that did not allow Africans to return back into the southern land. Therefore, they had to retreat into caves and put clothes on. When the what is known as an interstadial came, which is a warming trend of the Ice Age, they then found the ability to begin to move further south. As they moved further south on the other side of the ice mountain, where it had been a temperate or a very warm climate, when they got down into the real southern lands here, coming out the Caucasus Mountains, they met upon peoples of different backgrounds. The great majority of them of African descent, whether you are in Mesopotamia over here, whether you're dealing with any of the Saudi Arabian areas, this is why it's so important to understand that the Europeans, the Eurasian as we know them today, the essence that made Saddam Hussein's light complexion was called the Jetna, T-A-N-I-D-E-S. Came down, meeting these individuals in Mesopotamia and getting a first concept of what culture and civilization is. They still couldn't get into it because they started wars because of their manner. They were a very violent people. They were a very dominating people. And so they were kicked out of every town they went to as they were traveling west. And finally they find themselves in Cana. And then they cross over, which then brings this Eurasian into Kemet. And for the first time, you see Eurasians in Kemet. This did not happen during the Old Kingdom. This did not happen. This happened during the first intermediate period. The Africans had gone through six dynasties prior to the first European of any substance coming into the land to make him or herself feel known. So all this concept about the pyramids, all that's nonsense. And I think that really, as our brother was saying, sure, we got to stop talking on certain levels. I believe that our discussion at this point is counterproductive. See, we're not about asking them, was Egyptians black? That's yesterday's discussion. See, we dealt with that yesterday. Whether or not you're up to the par is your business, okay? You missed the train. I didn't. I was on that train. And so now we are going to be about the form.
We can wrap it up. We can wrap it up right there.
Yeah, I was stopping it right there. You was right on cue too.
Yeah, because I want to go before he goes, before it would go into the next subject matter, which he was going into, which was some of the spectacular things that the Moorish people, Moor meaning black. Moor is not a religion. Moor is not a specification of any type of tribe or anything like that. Moor simply means black, like Ethiopian. Ethiopian means a land of the burnt face. That's what Ethiopian means, translated. Before he goes into that, he was speaking in the beginning about the transformation and the mutation of what we know as to be the European. And there's been a lot of skepticism over, I'm not sure if I said that right, correct me if I'm wrong, but there's a lot of skeptics who look at this situation and they want to argue, you know, well, we don't know who come first. And it really is the majority of black people. See, when you get into if you've ever been around 10 white people and brought up a conversation like this, they're going to say one thing all together collectively, and they're going to agree upon that thing. That thing might be a lie, might be a bald-faced lie, but the thing about it is they're going to agree. They're going to come to one decision and agree. And the thing about our people, we've been taught so many different ways, sideways, upside down, looking at things the way we're supposed to look at it forward, we look at things backwards. And so we get into an argument to where it usually leads into some type of violence or a fight. But what he is stating is that what we know as the European or the Eurasian today is just a mutation or a piece of us. And how he was breaking it down is when we're looking at their ancestors, we're looking at African travelers. We're looking at African explorers, people who were up there in the Caucasus Mountain. This is the Russian area, Russia. If you were looking on a map, you look for the Caucasus Mountains. It's the Russian area. And these were people who migrated about a thousand hundreds, and were exploring and developing as we have done. We have circumnavigated the globe, the African presence and proof of the African everywhere on this planet, even in America, before Cristobal Colomb or Christopher Columbus. There's African presence everywhere. There were actually 110 pyramids along the Mississippi River. A lot of people don't know about that. You reference to Ramesses III, American Father, the book, or Christopher Columbus's son wrote a book called African Presence in America. He didn't mean to write the book, but what happened was he was going to excavation. He kept finding these African things that had been predated way before European had touched the land. But we're talking about explorers. We're talking about people that got over there at were exploring, settled in there. What happened was that our last ice age, the Earth's last ice age, blockaded them in. And like he was explaining, through about over 2,000 years of mutation, adaptation to the land, just like if you take a dog or a cat, or you take a rabbit or any type of animal, and you put them in a different environment than what they're used to, if that animal survives, it will mutate its own body to fit those surroundings. This is why we have rabbits that live in the snow and white foxes and things like that. These are animals that were not indigenous to that place but have been brought there and left there surviving through genetic mutation. They adapted to their surroundings. This is the same pattern that it took from the African into the European. He was explaining about, and a lot of people have questions, well, the alkaline nose, the lips are smaller, and the hair straightens out, deadens. When we look at that, when we look at our melanin and what melanin does for us as a colored or darker-skinned people of the earth, we look at our melanin protects us from the certain harmful rays of the sun. That you look at nappy head, or what we call nappy head. You ever wonder why people hate nappy head, or the Caucasoids, as I'll refer to them often. The Caucasoids came up with this nappy head, and this is so negative because that is our God-given helmet, people. Your hair is naturally curly to protect your head from the harmful rays of the sun that will otherwise penetrate your dome and give you brain cancer. What happens is as your hair curls, as it comes out of your head, it curls. And each curl, each loop, basically defends off a certain level of these sun rays. So the more hair you have, the more curly or nappy it is, the more protection you have from these harmful rays. The Caucasoid does not have this. This is why they get the sun cancers and they get the, you know, skin cancers and stuff like that. We are naturally put here. We are kinetically connected with this whole universe. We were born and built with the things that it takes to survive on this planet. Point blank and period. Without doctors, medicines, or anything, we are born with the certain things that the earth puts out, certain things that is harmful to the human body. We have defense mechanisms already in us as a people, and that is a lot of things he was trying to explain. The road after, now we speed up time. Now you have civilizations built. This is where the primary cannibalism comes from. When you think about it, now if I'm living in Africa, I'm living in an enriched land. This diamonds and gold grow in this land. They're not manufactured; it grows. So when a tree, when a fruit is ready to eat, what does it do? When a fruit is ripe, what will it do? It will fall from the tree. The tree automatically, it's like a microwave button. It goes ding. The land is enriched, and it will let you know when it's time to eat the fruit of the land. They didn't have this. They were in ice caves and caverns and things like that. So they had a saying that derived from one of their sayings. And I don't speak the actual language that they spoke then, but translate, it says, don't spend your time catching the wolf. Wait till your neighbor catches the wolf and catch your neighbor. This is how they lived by. They were a very violent society, and yes, it's because they had to be. So as they come out of these Caucasus Mountains, as the ice melts, they come down and they travel through southern Europe, which you are meeting. Yes, they are meeting other people of that will be considered somewhat European because of the height. And we got to remember where you are placed in the world, depending on geographically where you're placed in the world, that's going to determine the certain factors of how your body looks, how it grows, how if you're a fat people, or if you're, because if you eat certain things from the land. Now, we know that corn and strawberries and things like that only grow or indigenous to certain places. And so even though we eat them, we only eat what has been produced and cut, and we don't know what's being put on it that's not naturally from the land. Different things give you, potatoes give you different nutrients than tomatoes do. So if tomatoes is indigenous to where you live, your structure and your body is going to be built different than these people over here who are living off of potatoes. So as they come through, they're getting kicked out of every city. These are people that almost look like them because they're violent in nature. And their first introduction into Africa, this is why you have the, such a Egyptology. There are other reasons for the Egyptology, but this is why you have such a focus on Egypt when you talk about the Caucasus, because this is where the, this was their introduction into the motherland. Nowhere else can you find a people who has been turned into a science other than the Egyptians. There's no Americanology, there's no Europology, there's no Australiology, there's no, but there's a Egyptology. That is the science and study of Egypt. So if they, if there was something great enough about these people to turn their way of living and lifestyle into a science, you know, to explain things that any otherwise you could not explain, there had to be something special about these people. Now, I'm going to try and sum it up a little bit because I know people are like, well, what? You know, I got a few questions for this cat. And I'm not an expert. I don't have a degree. I'm giving you what I have learned, and I challenge you to go and study up on this information so you can learn. But when we go further down, further down to about the 700s, 740 is when the Moors. Now, these are the this is a people of knowledge and intelligence and love. This is not a hateful people who want to see you under when you're under. They came into Europe and they civilized Europe. They paved the roads with lights for miles. They brought in the concept of hot and cold running water. They brought in the concept of farms, because Europeans let cows and chickens and pigs run through their living room and shit right there next to their table while their kids was eating dinner. They brought in the philosophy of astronomy, of alchemy, of science, of mathematics, of literature. They brought all these things into Europe. And not only did they do that, when you watch these movies and you see these King Arthur movies and you see these Robin Hood movies or these movies displaying these big castles that these people lived in, they did not build that. Europeans did not build it, none of those castles. The Moors came in, and in driving out the demigods, the Vandals and the Vikings who lived there, and modernizing and bringing their stuff up to par, they built these great castles. And what happened was, by the 1400s, they had three great dynasties in Europe, black dynasties. And by the 1400s, this was when you start to see the last Moors being driven out by these so-called Christian people of Christian faith, and being driven out, taking the land back or whatnot. And see, this is what starts a lot of the masking and the tearing down of art. When you see the Germans, when they talk about the book burning in Germany, when Hitler burned all them books, he got that from places, because he got that from the Caucasoids, because that's what they would do. They would ransack towns. They would try and they would take all the information that they felt would be useful to them, and they would burn everything else. But this was the problem. They killed all the scholars. They murdered all the translators. So what they did is they took the best of their knowledge and tried to decipher our science, and that's the product of a lot of the stuff that we see today, the teaching methods of the Kemites and the ancient Egyptians. A few of the other points that he touches on, when we go back before the Moors, we're talking about people, their descendants, the Dogon tribe. And look these people up. We're talking about people who are descendants of the ancient Kemites. These are the people who built the pyramids. And in the 90s or the 80s, the Chinese tried to replicate with the way the Egyptians did it to build the pyramids. They tried to they tried to do it the way that they did it, and they could not figure it out because you have to understand where the pyramids sit. There's no other stone structures for you to take these stones from to build here. Those stones came from across the water, out of moats or mountain figurations. So you're dealing with large stones weighing hundreds and hundreds of tons. You had to carve these out of mountains. Now, the way that these rocks, like if you take a table, how I describe how Booker T. Coleman describes it, if you take a table and flip it on the opposite side and put it on another table, you won't have any grip to pick it up. You'll have to slide it off to pick it up. This is how smooth, laser cut precision these rocks were cut with. And we're talking about before of the age of so-called technology that we have today. Mm-hmm. Now, not only did you have to cut these stones perfectly, you had to get them from where they were, across lands, to water. Now, what happened to the Chinese when they tried to replicate? Now, they couldn't do the cutting, so what they did is they cheated a little bit. They cheated a little bit, and they cut the rock out, and they got the right size. So the next step, we have to put them on the boats. The boats kept sinking because of the weight of the rocks. They could not get them on the boats because of the weight of the rocks. They could not figure out how the ancient Egyptians got these, even cut them out the stone, on top of that, got them on the rocks. And then you had to get them across the sea. Then you had to get them to where they were going. And if you study or into math and everything, the it's 788, I believe it's 788 feet across either way, the pyramids. Now, if you take that and put a line in between each four, the section that you have, the numeric answer that you have in one of the fours is what's pi? 3.14? We gave them pi. The Egyptians gave us pi. You know, the everything that they study from the astronomy, the ancient Kemites and Egyptians have records of Saturn having rings around it, of Venus having more than one moon. They have records of this in scribes. And you would think to yourself, okay, they didn't even have telescopes. How were they able to see past our moon? Because if you walk outside and look up at the sky, you can't see past the moon. It looks like a lot of dots. So you tell me, how do these people in this time that this technology has not been invented gather this information if it was not for the divine wisdom and the teachings of their ancestors that they carried upon them? They are great, great, great things. We brought mathematics, language. If you look at the Latin language now, mostly all languages derived from the Latin languages now, which came from the Romans, which came from the Greeks. Now, if you put a Greek
hold on
alphabet,
one second, J. Rock. I think I got somebody want to comment on this. Tony Lurgis, you want to comment?
Oh, I was listening. I'm sorry. I got disconnected. I called back in. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Go ahead. Proceed, King. Proceed.
Oh, I was just – I'm going to wrap it up for questions. I know probably a lot of people are inquisitive, and there's a lot of other subjects. But if you place that Greek alphabet system next to the Egyptian alphabet system, you will say – and this is stuff – all this stuff – don't believe, like Brother Cobbler, Dr. Cobbler says, Booker T. Coleman, don't believe me. Research this stuff for yourself. All you have to do is go get the Latin, the Roman, the Greek, and the Egyptian alphabet. And you place all of them next to each other, and you will see what derives from what. But you'll see the differences. You'll also see the similarities, but you'll see the differences through mistranslation and also putting in their own stuff. What do writers call it? The writing creativity. That means I can
creative
take a story.
Writing.
Creative writing. That means I take a story and change it up, just so you know the audience might do or to get this type of response from you. Change up the original story a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, you might change the name
to make it interesting,
like
more
that.
Attention.
This is what
that's
happens.
That's what I think
through.
Is happening.
Go ahead.
Sorry. That's what I think that has happened. Now, especially with the value on the people and the family, people, and we are changing things up to get more acceptance and more attention. We are willing to sacrifice truths. We are willing to alter history. We are willing to degrade ourselves and our ancestors and our children for, you know, a temporary fix. And while I'm saying that, I just see a YouTube video says how to deactivate your Willie Lynch chip. I haven't watched that, but I'm gonna watch that.
Yes, and there's all types of information. There's all types
of
information out there.
Well, all the information that's out there, such as selections, and big shout out to Lorraine Miss Reed. Lorraine Miss Reed Daily is out, and Diva Ebony B, Diva Spy Radio is the top story on the site, so y'all can definitely check that out. Big shout out to you, Queen. But my question goes to say, well, all the different information that's out here, and people are interpreting the way that they see it and the way that they know it and they weigh, how are we to know what's still true?
We have to research. And we have to continuously research.
How do you feel about Mormons?
I know that the word more derives from the black people, so you can take that, you know.
No, not
Mormons.
I understand
what you said, but we have to look at that first word. Anytime you see more, I don't care what it is. Anytime you see more, just like when you see albino, they have albino roach, albino rat, albino this, that means white. That means white. And anytime you see more, that means black. So I haven't studied up on them, but I know if it has that word, then it has to do something with us. And
right.
I will look it up. And next time we talk about it, next time you ask me that question, I will have an answer for you.
Yeah, that's right. I know that's right. I focus on the solution rather than the problem. I want to give you guys, and I want y'all feedback for this because y'all men. I had a situation over the holiday season. My son, he built this tree, but he ended up dropping it. And one of my family members was here, young queen, and he teared up about dropping this tree because it kind of fell apart and it was all like these pieces to put together. But she made a statement to say, oh, he's a sensitive case. Y'all need to man him up. Y'all need to man him up or he's going to turn out to be a sissy. So I'm trying to keep myself in order because this is my home. That's my son. I don't think that it wouldn't be smart to go mess with a brown bear cubs or the mother is going to come after you. But I go to say, because after he teared up, I was like, Makai, you going to cry about the tree? That could something that could be repaired. You can redo it again and most likely make it better. But her thing was, she told me that I needed to wrestle with him, or that we needed to wrestle with him or do some more manly things with him. And I said, I got to testify on this with my background music. DJ, let me get some testify instrumental. There you go. I said, now, what would you have had me do? Would you, because I spoke calmly to my son and gave him a solution rather than focus on the problem and curse him out and verbally abuse him anymore as you have done? Or what would you have done? Anytime a fool is talking and they always bringing up the problem, this is how you get a fool to think about what they're talking and challenge them without putting hands on them. Which at the end of the day, I didn't follow through. I did end up putting hands on my cousin because she was being disrespectful and I told her that she needed to leave and she told me she wasn't doing nothing or I'm not going to do nothing in my house. You don't know Diva that well, Booby. You hear business. But you know that. Now, anywho, I go to say, you know, what would you have had me say or what have you do? Because like what you said, Jay Ritterville, stop telling these kids no and cutting them off when they talking. I allow my son at 10 years old when we talking, I have had to correct him about cutting people off. But he's able to express his opinion and how he feels just as well, as I am. I do not cut him off and say, shut up, stay in the child's place. A child has saved my life. Let me tell y'all something. Y'all better start giving y'all kids a chance after y'all finish talking because the chain or the leadership or however you want to look at it. Ask them how they feel about this situation. Ask them how they feeling. But she goes to say after I asked her for a solution of what she would have done if she has no kids. Well, he be talking, now he talking crazy around here. Makai be talking crazy to you. Anybody that know me, and you got to personally know me. Even my personality, y'all know I'm not going to let my son run around here talking crazy like he crazy.
Yeah, of course.
I said, what would you rather for him to do? as far as a man, what is a man to you? He just need to be a little bit more rough, a more tough. So I said, you want him to be running around here with his pants hanging off his butt, calling us B's and H's, and not being respectful and telling you to shut up? I said, is that a man to you? What is your interpretation of a man? Because when I was thumping on your ass, guess who was praying for you? My son. On his knees. He was praying, God, please, please help my mother. Please don't let my father. And I said, now that's what a man do. He pray. So I'm going to get some feedback on this.
Go ahead, King. Go ahead, brother.
Go ahead, brother.
No, I was going to say, I think that has to do with society's mind of your, like what she was telling you was like, that's how society is. It's a stereotype that you have to do this to your son and treat him this way or he's going to be soft, which is not true. You don't have to act like that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's probably all that she knows, and she's telling you that. And also, the fact that your son cried about the tree falling, I don't see it as something that he's soft. I see it as, you know, it took time, right, to put into that. And, you know, it's like, I did all this, and he's just expressing
it took 2 hours.
He felt, right. He put a lot into that. So, and he's a child. I mean, you can't get on like he's a grown man, like, shut up. You know, he's a child. He has these, you know, he's going to feel sad about stuff. I mean, it's hard to understand about that. If it's something that he
received,
and he got destroyed.
He received the loss. Anybody that knows anything about grieving, I know well about grieving. There's a process to grieving. You're going to feel some hurt. You may feel some anger, some denial. You get some acceptance later. But anything that you lose, it can be, you can lose your ID and feel impacted by it. It's all about the loss. It's all about when you lose something, you feel a hurt and a pain, because if you lost something, you can lose a dollar and feel some type of way. You understand what I'm saying here? But it's my thing is, I had no problem, and I agree with her to a certain degree with him being too sensitive, because he has been with me a lot of years. And I'm just recently, you know, I didn't recently just start dating until about 2 years ago, going on 3 years ago. So, you know, that may have a lot with doing with him not having a male figure.
What I like to say behind that is that what I feel your son exhibited. First of all, let's talk about what we're dealing with in the situation. As far as individuals, we have you, your son, then we have this outside party who believes a certain way that she does. And what she did is she brought you to a point in your nurturing, your motherhood, where you were kind of confused. And what your son did is, all your son did, when he broke his toy, and like the brother said, he is a child. They grieve and they take things a little bit different to us. But then you got to realize, a child is closer to the womb than you are. The kinetic sense of the energy of everything. You have to realize that all your son did was get in touch and in touch, and was consumed by his feminine nature, by his love. We can break it down into love of the tree, and the tree turns into the wood that he built the tree. But really, it's the love of the earth. And what happens is something was destroyed that he created. See, his mind was created within your womb to create. This is what is in his blood, creation.
Mm-hmm.
And anytime you have created something and you see it demolished or destroyed, you are going to feel some type of hurt behind it. Now, a child is going to exhibit this a little bit more in tune on the feeling side, because it is a child. It is still in a nourishing, I don't care if the child's 13 years old, 12 years old, you're still in a nourishing state. Where now, like I said, we as men, we need to start acknowledging that feminine side, because when your genes, when he dropped that toy, your genes in him kicked in. And all the pain and all the hurt that you felt kind of escaped for a second, because something was destroyed. It's not so much of the fact that he created. It was something that was destroyed. We as a people, we are not about destroying. This is what we have to get out of our minds. We are not about destroying. We are loving people who will help you if you are down. We helped people that turned around and came back and enslaved us. And we're still sitting up here yelling to the preacher, we love our enemies. We still sitting up here helping old white people across the street, even though it was the same white people that threw Molotov cocktails at our churches years ago. Because we don't have hatred like that. And the hatred that we have towards each other, we built that. They've instilled that in us. When we shoot each other and kill each other, that's because that's a psychosomatic, that's unconscious hate that has been placed in your mind for you to hate what mm-hmm. looks like you. Now, that's the explanation of your son. Now, let's get into this young lady who felt that by him connecting with his feminine side, he would have that. He's a vulnerable state in his life. If he's continuing to act like this, to become a homosexual. I have to tell you this. Now, I'm not a homophobe or a gay basher or anything like that. I'm just speaking the simple sciences of what history tells of where that comes from. You know, and we can research it, the homosexuality. We know the Greeks practiced the homosexuality after meetings and stuff like that. In their great hall, they would retire and go back and have sex with each other. A woman was not allowed in the temple because she wasn't worthy for their penis. This is their history. This is what they did. This is traveled on down to the Catholic priesthood out the Vatican. This is traveled on down. This is what they do. So when we look at her, and we don't know the damages that her mind and the perception of men has entailed. We don't know if her father was a good father. We don't know if her big brother was a big brother. We don't know if her baby daddies or boyfriends were neglective and didn't have the light and the feminine side within themselves. So automatically, and then we're speaking of a subjective woman that's under the binding of the Willie Lynch letter. A woman who is taught to make her son independent. Stand strong. Do not hurt. Do not cry. If you fall, you bet not cry. I'm going to hurt you worse than what you got hurt when you failed. Because what we're trying, as a woman, what you're trying, you have been taught to defend that male, because that male will go out and that man will kill him, beat him, lock him up, burn him at the stake, cut his testicles off, steal his woman, take his job, put him up under his foot. And you know this, it's bred within you over the last 500 years. It's been bred within you to protect your male by any means necessary. So in her unconscious confusion of how she's been taught, she sought the simple opposite of what she was supposed to do, which was give encouraging words of nurturing things to you as the child's mother, or as a black woman, period. If you were not in a stable mind, if you weren't, and see, this is what I bring to the confusion. That's why I say the confusion. You as black women have to understand you are the civilization in the cradle of what all created this earth. When we look at the studies of the ancient Kemites, even the Europeans, when you study anything, the female component has always given birth to life, the earth, the stars, the moon, the sun. It was given birth in a replication of how a woman gives birth. A man
your
cannot do
time
that.
Is about to expire. Please finish your message within 8 seconds.
Keep going.
Okay, a man cannot replicate this action. That's why when
now.
I get confused because the men, all they want is the power in the household. You know, come in, cook my dinner, do this and do that. And you want to teach your son, you know, son, you don't let these women do. And this is how you treat a woman. The ancient Egyptians and ancient Kemites, we bowed at our women. When you look at
I told her that. I said, I'm not raising a thug. I'm raising a king.
He has to understand that he has the feminine side. And yes, it's okay to cry. Crying is the outlet of built up emotions. This is a physical reaction that your body needs to go through in order to relieve the stress physically, so you do not make yourself sick. This is a natural human function. Crying is a physical way of upletting an emotion, which is something that would be considered metaphysics, something that is there, but you cannot see or touch, which are feelings. They are very real because we feel them every day. And crying is how you let them out. That is God's divine way of allowing you to release that hurt and pain. And for you to tell a child, a young black man, to not cry, do not let out all the pain, you have set him up from a lifelong of disaster and breaking down, because he has to learn, even if it is not in the face. And we have to understand, a man crying in front of his woman, his family, this is not weakness. This is not weakness. We hurt. We are human. We hurt. You sniffling all that stuff up is killing you. You telling your son when he fall, if you cry, I'm going to hurt you worse, that's killing him. You don't understand that. You're setting him up to get out in these streets and take abuse and swallow it. You're teaching him to get out here and accept police brutality and not have enough guts. On top of that, our social world is telling them snitching is bad. Don't tell on nobody. You're not going to tell on yourself. Now, in a certain sense, yes, snitching is bad. When it's in the face of sending your own brother or sister to jail for the rest of their life, snitching is bad. But if a police officer beat on me, you dead right, I'm finna get a badge number, and I'm going to be at their goddamn precinct. And you call me all the snitches you want to. Somebody going to pay for what I'm still getting beat on. This makes no sense.
That whole snitching thing was ridiculous. And that's why I always say it's all snitching until it's your family laid out with their head busted wide open.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? I don't know what I'm
talking.
Yeah, you on the first 48 talking.
You're
the first
the
one on the
talking.
First 48 talking.
You know, have some of that part. Have some of that honor and respect that you had when you were kicking it in the hood around the home. Some of that same honor and respect around the police in front of your parents.
I want to bring the whole. I want to bring it up to speed as far as what's going on now. Now that you're talking about, you know, not allowing your child or your young king or your young queen to express or cry to express their feelings. I'm going to show you what happens when you don't allow or nurture your children or communicate with them and show them love, mothers, women, fathers. Let's take a look at it. Let's recently, Connecticut, 20 kids dead with adults. Let's look at the movie theater that got shot up. Let's look at the university that got shot up. All of these people had issues. They had issues and they was consumed by evil, hatred, and violence. And they had issues with themselves. That's what a mother has to come in at. You got to nurture your child. And when you speak to your child with respect. Speak to them in a calm nature. Come over here. Let me talk to you for a few seconds. Let me know what's going on with you. That's the first thing I say to my son. Come here. Come close to me. Because I need you to know that I care. That I need you to get close to me for this bond. Because we about to share this energy. And I need to look at you in your face. And say, come over here. Now tell me what's going on with you. Because I need to be. In order to be effective and productive with what I'm going to say to him, I need to be a good listener first. What is your problem? What happened? What part did you play?
If I could just throw in something real fast, I don't mean to cut you off.
Go ahead.
I've actually witnessed my nephews, like, if something happened, they would, like, actually drop something on the floor on accident. And as soon as their mother looks at them, they get this look on their face like they're terrified. I'm like, calm down. It's not that serious. Like, I mean, I heard it's okay to, like, you know, let your kids know, hey, don't do this and that. Like, you know, don't play with me. But, like, the way they look is like they thought they were going to die. And I'm like, why do you have them not scared of you like that? They're never going to come to you and
tell
talk
you
to you about nothing or anything. Yeah, because, you really was terrified. I'm like, why you have them like that? That's not a good thing.
No, it's not a good thing for your kids to feel fear. I know that by experience because guess what? I had that same issue. And, J-Ron, I'm going to let you jump in on this. We got about 12 minutes left. But I had the same fear, and I still have a spelling problem as an adult. I will never forget this. I think I was in, like, the fifth grade, and it was this yellow piece of paper that had the spelling words on it, and I was supposed to match them with the meaning. And, I went to go ask. Hold on, I'm going to get a feedback from this. Hold on. I went to go ask my mother to help with this. And that's the problem. She ain't overseeing what was going on with me. And I don't blame her for that because just like you were saying, J. Real the Realist, she had a rough life. But I was asking her to help me because I was struggling. She helped me out a little bit. Then she came back an hour later and I was still on problem number 3 out of 10 problems. And she just went off, like, why? Why you ain't getting this done? You ain't reading? You ain't doing this? And I end up getting a severe whooping because of that. And after that day, I didn't ask my mother for no more help.
Whether I needed it or not.
Whether I needed it or not, mm-hmm. I did not ask her.
And that's what you,
I'm
going to
go
that's
ahead and get
do.
Out of here.
That's what we do. We petrify these kids because we don't understand how to deal with them, and that brings me back to what I said earlier about we're still in a child frame of mind ourselves. Our education speed, the way we're taught, the way things, we're symbolic people. We learn off of seeing, going through things, and then resolving these things as we encounter them. That's the type of people that we are. When we're not prepared for that, when there's been a gap, then there's a problem. Frustration sets in. You have these small kids and they're daddy, 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 mama, mama, mama. And you in your head, you just really wanted them to shut up. But what you have to realize is that is a selfish thought. This is a child that in any otherwise, if they weren't asking for your attention, you would be worried or you would be feeling neglected as the parent. Why doesn't my child love me? Why doesn't my child do this and that? We need to appreciate those things as young parents or older parents. As they get older, we know they start to detach because their individuality starts to arise and they want to be their own person, so they detach from the parents. And in that stage, the parent will go through withdrawals or whatnot. But what I want to get into real quick before I bring it back to how we started all off was we had talked on the sons, now the daughters. This is the most important part of a father's being is those little girls, because you have to realize if we say that and before they say the Big Bang or any of that happened or God created this and that, and what do they always say? There was darkness. There was black. See, even before there was nothing, there was us. You understand me? Even before there was nothing, there was us. You come from, and the principles that even created the Big Bang, the explosion and things multiplying, this is the nucleus, which happens, you know, the fetus in the woman. This is the same replication of birth and life of all things that live and create and breathe. And as a man, you have to realize when you look at your daughter, that is the creation of all life. And if that seed is not cultivated right, it's not going to produce life right. It's not going to produce life in the way that you're, in the manner that your ancestors did it. And we have to realize that as men, because we get the boys. And yes, it is important that you spend time with your sons, show them the way that it is to treat a woman, show them what it is to be a man and to be strong and things like that. But at the same time, we need to back up off of our sons so much and let our women deal with our sons so they can learn that compassion. And they can learn that before they pull that trigger on another black man, they can look in his eyes and realize this brother is just like me. That compassion comes from your woman, brother. It doesn't come from you, because if anybody come in your house, and just the way your ancestors did, if anybody come into this city, the men are the first ones. It's your nature to get up and protect and defend your family with your life. You're not going to lay there while your woman gets up and fights off a robber, or your child gets up and fight off a robber. Your intuitive manship has you get up and do this. But we have to understand these little girls that we're leaving out here, these little girls that we're, hey, her mama tripping, I don't have to deal with that. I'm going to look for happiness in all the wrong places. But when really happiness is within you, you can live in a concentration camp and be happy. You can live under the worst conditions. Slaves were happy. They sung about it. They let you know they were happy, even though they were under harshest conditions. We have to step up as men, and we have to 360 look at this full thing. Our sons and daughters need us more than anything now, because these are the women are the ones who are going to bring the change upon this world. Once we start taking these white men off the Senate and off the presidency, and we start putting black women, and I know that's hard to take, men, because you feel, well, if a white man going to leave, a black man should get it before a black woman get it. No. The black woman has the sense of a nation. Yeah, they're going to bicker and fight, but you get five black females together on a problem, they're going to talk all about it, and by the end of it, they're going to all have an agreement on how to work it, because they've done it. They do it every day on Maury. They do it every day in these socialist groups that these women run, these male bashing groups. Mm-hmm. They do it every day, and they have a solution for your black ass. They have one. You know, and the system is helping them push this solution. But what we need to do is we need to love our women, and we need to let them know that they are loved. If their daddy didn't love them, ask your girl. If you don't know nothing about her relationship with her daddy, which you should, if that's your girl, but ask her, what type of daddy did you have? And what you need to do is you need to examine what type of man you are, especially if you have a daughter. These things are very important, and then that brings back to where we all started with the parents. See, this is the beautiful thing. As parents, as we become more conscious, as we become every great generation just makes the next generation greater. As we become more conscious as parents and we start to practice some of these things of pride, of research, please go out and read. Learn this information that's out there about you and your people so you can teach it to your kids so they don't walk in these classrooms and get stuck and left behind. Because they get left behind because one is not their history. those are not my faces you're teaching me about. I'm not interested in that. My faces are on BET. My faces have the chains on them, or, and are locked up in the prisons. I want to relate to what I look at. Like I said, we are people that we are movers and thinkers that relate with problems that are right there hands on. You know, that's the type of people we are. We're people of action. We need to start taking actions in our homes. God bless our parents for being parents and providing us with this knowledge and this hurt and all the blood that they shed. But thank God for our parents, those who were not there and those who were there. You know why? Because if them two human beings didn't come together in some type of bond, you would not exist. So if anything, you need to think, I don't care if they was crackheads or anything, you need to put away your hatred for them, for whatever earthly problems or wrongs they did. You need to thank God that them two people came together so you can have life and so your children can be.
I had a round of applause.
Yeah, I know I talk a lot. I'm sorry, people, but, you know, anybody want to get in here, J. Real the Realist, we think tanks and we do this all the time. You know, listen to the music, too. It's pretty good.
Yeah, right? That's what it is. I want to thank everybody for coming through the Steppy Game of Saturdays and put in on this conversation. Well, I would say put food, put nourishment on this conversation for all of us to grow, man. And if you didn't catch the whole show, don't worry. You can catch it after. In about 5 minutes, you can download the show. Go to www.divaspotradio.com. Again, that's www.blogtalkradio.com/Divaspot and archive the show and just listen to the information and listen to the message. I encourage everyone, and when I say everyone, I mean everyone, to learn your history. Learn where you came from. It's not that we don't know who we are, it's just we don't know where we came from. In order for you to know who you are, you need to know where you came from and whose you are. Then the examples that you had before, you guys keep God first, family second, and career third. I'm about to get up out of here with this hot track by Acres called Home. It's your girl, Diva Ebony. Let's go.
All I had to fix is what I seen in the mirror. Patience is a virtue, so I learned from my mistakes. Now I recognize real, separate myself from fake. And yeah, I'm coming up, no matter how long it take. And yeah, it's a long line, so I can't avoid the wait. And everybody doing it, so I can't avoid the hate. I hope my family keeps praying, and I promise I'll make everything back that the government trying to take. I promise I'll never eat until we all ate. Been screaming, fuck the world since a nigga turned 8. I promise I'll never quit, I guess I'm a little late. Look, I'm fresh up off the bench.
You already know what it is. J. Rule the Realist, South Central Unsigned Hype. Let's get it in. Step your game up Saturdays. Let's go.
Foundation. of coordination. I did it all alone. No need for more shows or promotion. I don't need your praise. Just follow the leader. If I lead up to these better days, now put your hands up for this man, bro, who recognize himself. Don't come with no price tag. You can't buy this riddle from off no shelf. It's something that you can't replace. So be safe. Just stop trying. Y'all niggas scream about how real you are. I don't need to believe it, but you just lying. This is what I live. You can't cover this in no 16 bars. This is what we die for. Go to trial for and some still at large. He showed me the man who lived his life and wouldn't want to give it back. And I showed you a gangster, a OG who really traps with me. I just walk the path of a better man than my letter man. Cause they say I can't, but I know I can. And when they look at me, they don't understand how. I'm young, black, and gifted. J Real, the realist. Now tell me your music.
Can't call out for help. The OGs told me I just didn't wanna listen. Now I'm missing all my people sitting in my room